Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to our special harvest service, harvest slash mission. They did a nice decorate. Very nice. Of course, many of you brought food offerings that will be brought up during the offering time. And some of you are going to need to help out on that. And I think Cheryl has all that covered, though. Well, there you go. and you'll be putting it up here where we used to kneel back before COVID-19. So anyway, let us begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
May the Lord rejoice in his word.
O Lord, how manifold are your works, in wisdom have you made them all.
The earth is full of your creatures.
You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants, for man to cultivate.
And he may bring forth fruit from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man.
Oil to make his face shine.
And bread to strengthen man's heart.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. As it was in the beginning,
is now and will be forever. Amen.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
May the Lord rejoice in his words.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high.
And on earth is his will for men. We praise thee, we love thee, we worship thee. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you crown the fields with your blessing and permit us to gather in the fruits of the earth. As stewards of your creation, may we receive your gifts in humble thankfulness and share your bounty with those in need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, beginning with verse 1.
When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the fruit of first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you will put it in a basket, and you shall
go to the place of the Lord your God that he will choose to make his name to dwell there, and you shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore at the time and said to us, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first fruits of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. He gives to the beasts their food,
and to the ravens their prey.
The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him,
in those who hope in his steadfast love.
The epistle reading for this morning is
taken from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 15. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Hence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we heard in the Old Testament lesson for this morning the practice that the Hebrew people would do at the time of first fruits, when their crops first came into readiness to be harvested. They were to take that first fruit and take it to the temple. And there it would be presented to the Lord in thanksgiving and to worship God for this abundance He provides. In the epistle lesson, we hear St. Paul talking, it sounds like at first just about growing, you know, and you put a little seed in, you get a little back, but you put a whole lot in, you get a whole bunch back. But it's not really a harvest of food he's talking about, because he goes on to talk about that harvest, that word which is planted in the hearts of people. How the gospel is spread basically like seed, and it produces much. And that's St. Paul talking about himself and the other apostles and pastors that are out there, in a sense, being like the farmer and being faithful to that. And we are to be thankful for farmers in our midst that provide God's word of grace and mercy. In the gospel lesson, of course, we hear about Jesus in the parable of the rich man, the foolish rich man. But it's interesting how it all begins, that parable. It begins with a complaint. You know, one brother comes to of apparently two brothers. One comes to Jesus and entreats Jesus to make his brother, you know, be fair and give him his right part of the inheritance. And Jesus, you know, chides him, you know, who made me an arbitrator over you? And then we get into the whole text about the rich man who had that great crop, and there was so much, such a great abundance that he thought to himself, you know, I should tear down the barns I have, build new ones or silos, and store this food. I've got it made for longer than normal here, and I can just relax once it's all done and enjoy the fruits of my labor, not only in the crops that he has, and undoubtedly the profit he will get from selling those crops, but also in a relaxed kind of way, kind of a vacation time of eat, drink, and be merry. So these are the things that we have to consider today, this Sunday that we have chosen to be a Sunday in recognition of that. Because we won't have a Thanksgiving service, but a harvest service, I think, is really something that is special, and I'm glad we're doing it. And in that, really, as we go through this this morning, we'll also see the connection of mission within this celebration, because mission is always the heart of the church, and mission takes many and various forms. It's not always just about going out into the streets and standing on the corner and calling out to people and telling them about Jesus. It's not always that. It's not always the mission of the church, at least not alone. Because when we proclaim the gospel, we always want to be able to express that through our lives to other people. And in those ways that we can express it will be various, depending on what God has gifted you with. And I don't mean just spiritual gifts. I mean what God has gifted you with in terms of what you have. Because you see, nothing that we have is really ours in the first place. Oh, I know you bought it, but it's not yours. But yes, it is, but no, it's not. And we understand that contradiction because we belong to Christ. And He makes us a steward of the things we have. You know, it's sad, you know, when I consider Jesus' words about covetousness. And He tells us to be on guard, take care, and be on your guard against all covetousness. Yeah? For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then He goes on to tell the parable. You see, we are a very covetous generation. It's true. I mean, we live in a time that's completely unlike probably any other, at least for us as Americans. I mean, it used to not be this way. You know? There was a time that people looked out for one another, and even those who had businesses looked out for their neighbors. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Everybody took an interest in you, and if you were struggling, and you had perhaps a grocer who knew you were struggling, might give you credit and just say, "We'll pay it later." I know. Walton's Mountain or something, you know. But it's true. It's very true. I mean, that's how people used to be. If you went into a store, even when I was a kid, my dad would introduce me to the owner of the store. They knew their customers, and their customers knew them. My dad went into the bank, and he knew just about everybody in there, the tellers and everyone else. When I first opened my first bank account, it was at Merchants National Bank in Mobile. And my dad took me around, and he would introduce me to these people. As I learned who they were, I didn't really appreciate what I was really seeing. And nor did I fully understand that these people were more than just business kinds of people, but friends. They were friends. There was a time you could go into a bank and sit down with someone and talk to them that you needed a loan, and they would work it out, and you would have a loan when you left that bank. Now, it's all on algorithms and other things like that. You know, they plug it into a computer. They do a credit search on you and see how good your credit is. There is no sense of the person you have before you and what the needs are of that person. It used to be that people took care of one another. I'm not saying that people didn't cheat. There were those who cheated. But there was a difference in how people behaved. Nowadays, you walk into a store and you don't really pay attention to the people you interact with. They're the salesperson. You never see the owner, whoever that might be. You really don't have an owner of a store necessarily. You have a manager of a store. The owner's somewhere else in his ivory tower, perhaps. Or maybe he's doing something, to help others. I don't know, but you don't see them. That personal touch is missing in everything, and we have become a most covetous nation. And, you know, it's true. Look how much advertising goes on that tempts you to buy their product, even if you have no need for it. Oh, they will convince you you have a need. Trust me. I've been in sales. You will try and convince them they need this. And pretty soon, perhaps, you start thinking, yeah, you're right. I do need this. And I need that. And I need that. Oh, look, that's shiny. I need that. Christmas is coming up. I need a lot more. I got a family that needs stuff too. We live in a covetous, covetous generation. We are constantly bombarded with advertisement. We can't get away with it. I mean, from it. The computers, the TV, the radio, the signs that you see while you're driving down the road. You can't get away from it. And Jesus is talking to us about why he really came in this parable. He didn't come, really, to settle our earthly little dramas. That's not why he came, to settle someone's estate. He didn't come for that. He came to bring us what we really need, and that is life and salvation. He came to bring us heaven so that we are not storing up our treasure on earth as this rich man did, because as he says in the story, God says, all right, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Because the sad truth of it, I guess, is that we've always heard the lie, and I guess sometimes believe it. The one who gets the most toys wins. No? The one who gets the most toys still dies. And then whose will they belong to? Whose will they belong to? This year has been a rough year for all of us, and more so for other people who have lost loved ones. But we dare not forget that death is not a strange thing that only happens to people who have died from COVID. We dare not forget that, because there are many people who had a hard year and it didn't have to do with COVID. People lost loved ones who fought cancer. People lost loved ones for different diseases, different reasons, car accidents, weird, strange accidents that sometimes happen when someone is just walking down the street. But it has been an unusual year. One that apparently seems to want to come about every 100 years. 1918, the Spanish flu. Look how many people suffered through that, and yet they made it, only to meet the Great Depression. And then in the midst of that, World War II. Oh, and before I forget, when the Spanish flu happened, we just ended World War I. And then World War II led into the Korean conflict, and then Vietnam, and then Desert Storm, and Afghan, and Iraq. It just seems to go on and on. We can't get enough of bloodshed, of being in turmoil, being in chaos. And that's all the work of Satan, because Satan thrives in that kind of environment. And he thrives and he uses the things around us to make us try to, anyway, turn from God. to turn and curse God, to say to God, why have you caused all this? I thought you were a merciful God, a God of love, and a God of grace. Why do you let this hard stuff continue? Why such pandemics, Lord? Why? When we should be turning to God in praise, prayer, and thanksgiving. Because you see, all of this stuff that we face every day is not new to us. The last century saw it, and I don't mean the 20th, I mean the 19th, but I already covered a bit of the 20th. So why should the 21st century be left out of all of that? It can't be left out because, unfortunately, that's the truth of life. I mean, we want it to be better. We strive to make it better. We strive to take care of those who are in need. We strive not to get into war. We strive and we strive, but we never seem to reach that place of peace. What's impossible for man, though, is possible for God. Our treasure is not in this world. We know there is a place where there is peace, and it is not here. It has been stored up for us in heaven, where there is no chaos, there is no rust, there is no corrosion, there is no hatred, there is no sin. And that belongs to you now. That's your possession. It doesn't matter what happens to you in this year. You can go online to Facebook and you can see all kinds of funny memes that really showing how people are really looking forward to get out of this year. Hoping that 2021 will be better. But isn't that what we always do? We hope the next year will be better. Or if that one doesn't work out, whether there's the new year, 2022. But there's always trouble because that's man's lot. Our days are filled with trouble. But we don't lose hope. We don't lose our vision of what God has given us. We keep that before us and we remember that in the face of all of these things, God has made you and I more than conquerors. We are triumphant with our Lord. This is the last Sunday of the church year. Some churches are even observing Christ the King Sunday. Ours would have been just the last Sunday of the church year. Christ is always King. We don't need one particular Sunday for that because we talk about His kingship all the time and how He is our King, how He is our Lord. And He promises to be with us through all kinds of chaos and trouble. And yes, He will give us times that we are rejoicing because our lives are filled with the blessings that God has granted to us. And we look to those things even today in the midst of a troubling year, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of whatever is going on in your own life that no one else knows about. God is looking over us and watching us and keeping us safe. Even when we die, He's already keeping us safe because when we die, we go to be with Him and we will see Him face to face. And what a marvelous, wonderful blessing that will be. Because you see, it wasn't dependent on how well we did in this world. It's only dependent on Christ, and we trust in that, and we give God thanks for that. So when we see things happening in the world, we look to others as God's children. We look to other people and see what it is we can do for them. What blessings has God given me that I can share, even in the midst of maybe not having much at all? It's easy to give out of our abundance, but giving out of our little, even that we want to do, because we know someone else will one day do it for me as well, because they too are a child of God. Not because of karma, but because you are a child of God. And we are called to look out for one another. That is the family of God. Yes, we are to carry the good news into the world. Yes, we are to do what we can to help those who do not know Christ. But especially, we are to look out for the fellowship, brothers and sisters in Christ. St. Paul says it in many places, so do the others. Look out for one another. Take care of one another. Because when we are doing that, then we are able to meet any chaos, trouble, pandemic, or whatever happens in the world. Because we have one another. We are not alone. We do not just have God alone. We just don't have Christ in your heart or just in my heart. But He is in all of us. Because God can. There is so much to give thanks to God for. We heard readings about farmers and growing crops. And we don't see that happening around us necessarily too often, unless you live in a community like this where you drive down the highway. You see crops growing. But those poor people in them big cities like Houston, they got to come out of there to see what a farm looks like. But they reap the benefits of the farmer, as we all do. They do see the others that also take from the farmer to provide for others. The truckers who carry the produce, the stores that stock the shelves. It's a lot of work to feed a nation. And yet God has provided the means for all of that. And He provides us with an abundance in our crops that we are able to feed many parts of the world that would not be fed if it weren't for those farmers and those other workers who bring those things that are grown to the market. And those who take care of the cattle and stuff so that those who are not vegetarians can celebrate. So we have much to be thankful for, because God's abundance never grows empty. He cares for us. He takes care of us. There are many without work, and hopefully we pray hard for those who are unemployed, that God would grant them employment, but especially that we might also be a help to them. We have seen on the news large lines of cars where people are going to places that are distributing food to those who are in need. We've all seen it. Such things that haven't been seen since the Great Depression. And yet it's so surreal, because even though we've come out of a depression pretty quickly and into a recession, it seems like there is an abundance all about us. And it's true. We live in a contradictory society and world where there is plenty and yet many are going without. But we are thankful to God who provides this for us so that we, His people, may share with others all the good things God provides. And we can do it. And we're doing it here today. We're providing food for the food bank from the Catholic Church. We've got this food back here. We're bringing it forward to give God thanks because He has provided for us as well, and we want to be part of sharing those things. We bring our offerings not just to pay a budget, but also that we may do other things with that money that helps the kingdom. Not just to pay our bills, but to send money to missions, to send it to synod, to send it to the district, to send it for other needs like Lutheran Women's Missionary League does. There are so many things that we are doing that we can be giving God thanks for the increase, whatever that increase may be, whether we see it or not. Let us give God thanks, for He is good. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for Your love for us and for the gifts that You have so richly given us, a home, work, food, clothing, children. Whatever, Lord, You have seen us in need, You have provided. Grant us, Lord, to be good stewards of Your gifts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Invite the congregation to gather the food in. Please bring it forward. Please rise for the prayers of the church. Almighty God, we give thanks for all Your goodness and bless You for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, grant your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service, faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy, send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel, both at home and in distant lands. Lord, in your mercy, in your mercy, strengthen newly established congregations and support them in challenging times. Make them steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord, and let their faith and zeal for the gospel refresh and renew the witness of your people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislators of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love, and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, and centers of research, and those who teach and work in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the way of your truth. Lord, in your mercy, sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and in all the world. Lord, in your mercy, let your blessing remain upon the seed time and harvest, the commerce and industry, the leisure and rest, the arts and culture of our people. Take under your special protection those who work is difficult or dangerous, and be with all who put their hands to any useful task. Give them the just rewards for their labor and the knowledge that their work is a blessing in your sight. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Especially we lift up to you Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Don and Donna Tolner, Pat Bias, Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knopf, and Wilfred Defoe, Alfred Durson, and Cindy Merrick, and all those who we also now name from our hearts. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you in your church on earth, who now rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints, and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. And Heavenly Father, we give you thanks with our offerings this day, especially these special gifts of food. We pray for your blessing, that your blessing would be upon them as they are given out to help others in need. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Please be seated. Rise and join in praying the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Come talk by this mic.
Oh, by the mic.
Yeah, so people at home can hear the announcements.
Right. Because they don't have a bulletin, right?
Not all the announcements are in.
First of all, we want to wish Jeff Schaffner happy birthday on November the 23rd and Larry Davidson on November the 25th. After service here, we will have a coffee and refreshments in the fellowship hall, and we will be observing safety precautions. And after that, we'll have adult Bible class and Sunday school. And then after that, we're going to have an appreciation dinner for Pastor Holford.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Yes, Pastor!
And would there be any other announcements from the congregation? Okay, Peggy.
This time of year, we normally put together care packages for our college students, and Kathy Zdowski is our only college student at this point, but we will be collecting things for her. One thing, when you're getting snacks, you cannot have nuts. So simple snacks, granola bar, just beware of, look at what you're getting because it doesn't have nuts. Maybe Pop Ramen. She didn't give me much by way of ideas. She did say things like Gatorade, maybe pencils. I put in some highlighters and post-it notes. But just think of things kids need when they study. And just things she might enjoy. And we will have a large bag here for her next week, and we'll present it to her next week.
Okay, Peggy. And Cheryl.
Next Sunday is the week after Thanksgiving, so we'll be decorating the church. Woo!
Bring your ladder, right? Okay.
We got the ladders.
Oh, we got the ladders? Okay,
so
good.
After Sunday school and Bible class, we'll be decorating. And if everybody pitches in, it goes fast, about an hour.
Yes. Carol.
I just want to thank all of y'all for donating the food for our pantry at St. Vincent de Paul's Catholic Church. It will be well appreciated because we serve the whole community. It's not just Catholics. If anyone needs help coming in, and if they're disabled, then they get a bag of groceries every time they come in and want to pay their bill or something. So it's really helpful. Thank you very much. And also thank you for adding Cindy Mark to your prayer list, because she is a friend of mine who goes to my church, but she brings her grandchildren here for Bible study every year. And she's having some kind of heart procedure done on Tuesday. So
thank you very much. She's a friend for lots of people. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. We didn't know about it.
Okay. Gary?
Just two things briefly. For those of y'all that sort of wonder what's happening with Chester, give you a quick update. He gets dizzy, and it causes him to temporarily go blind. And so when I looked over, he's in the floor, and I asked him, I said, "You all right?" "Yeah, yeah, I'm all right." I thought he's stretching his back, to be honest with you, because of all his back problems from time to time. But he's headed home now, and he's all right, and so that's in good shape. Anybody who would like to learn how to semi-operate this sound system, if you want to take about 10, 15 minutes after we get finished here, I'll show you how to do that, because there will be times that I won't be here, and somebody's going to have to know how to do it. So any volunteers, it's not hard to do it. We'd be glad to show you.
Okay. Anything else? If not, let's conclude with In Thee Is Gladness on page 818. Please rise.